Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, before I go any further, let me tell you about my friends over at Otter Creek Farm. I was there again just the other day. Love that place. And it was, I was watching literally as a group of hunters were getting their safety briefing and about to head out into those beautiful fields and do some wing shooting. I think they're going on a pheasant hunt. And then on top of that, we toured the facilities with some folks who were looking at using Otter Creek Farm for a corporate retreat. And to say they were impressed is an understatement. The bottom line is this: Otter Creek Farm. If you're not familiar with it, check out their website, ottercreekfarmstead.com. And I'll just tell you, it's the kind of place that it's like it's known nationwide now. People are flying in from Europe, Frank told me. Frank Brown runs the place. But literally, Otter Creek Farm is like an oasis in North Alabama, featured in Garden & Gun magazine. Donald Trump Jr. came and stayed there recently for a hunt. It's used as a wedding destination. It's used for overnight getaways. It's used for, like I said, corporate retreats. And, of course, what its primary function was originally when it was founded, wing shooting, pheasant and quail. I'm just telling you, you got to check this place out. Otter Creek Farm at ottercreekfarmstead.com. Okay, so, hey, listen, former State Senator Paul Sanford was calling in, but we're having some trouble. Apparently, it's there's some connectivity issues. I'm not sure what the deal is. We will get hold of him as soon as we can. In the meantime, I will go ahead and tell you, in terms of state politics, this is not on my triple dipper, but you might want to know that tonight, Governor Kay Ivey is going to give her State of the State address, she will be giving that, I believe, it's 7 p.m. Central. But that's basically the state's version of the State of the Union. And it is also a chance for her to lay out her priorities for the legislative session, the things that she wants to see happen in the state, and to make, you know, certain calls for action, that kind of thing. If you've never attended one of these, I mean, I'll be honest, some of the pomp and circumstance of government is overblown, but I also, me personally, I'll be honest with you, I do love some of the formality of government. I love the fact that we care enough to do it a certain way and to be reverent for certain procedures and to know that there are rules to the manner in which the legislature or the government is supposed to act. Now, not everybody follows the rules, but I can just tell you, I enjoyed being a part of the State of the State address, being able to attend several times, sitting up on the dais once as one of the representatives of the state Senate when I believe it was Governor Bentley spoke, and just all that to say, there's a lot happens in government. You also learn a lot when you listen close to what they're saying. So Governor Ivey's going to make some presentations tonight. I am curious what she's going to say, some of which I believe I know what she's going to say. I believe she's going to say the state's doing great because she's been in charge. I mean, every politician says that, right? I'm not faulting her for trying to, you know, point to the things that are right. I believe she will also call for budget increases on education. Although, you know, me personally, I believe that it's time to start cutting back on spending because when you spend more government money, you're basically growing more government. Things may be more expensive. Maybe it costs more to do some things this year than it did last year, but that's not the reason why we spend more. And I heard this morning that we are looking at epic level budgets this year. So I'm not sure how to explain that, but we're going to see somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.8 billion, I think, in the general fund being proposed. And then on top of that, we're looking at well over $8 billion on education. Even though we're 50th in the nation, they're going to continue to get more money to keep doing the same things. That's all going to be in the State of the State address tonight. I see. Copper, thank you. I appreciate it. So, yeah, former State Senator Paul Sanford, who is now running for Congressional District 5, the seat being vacated by Mo Brooks, is on the line. Paul Sanford, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, Phil, how are you? I had a little technical difficulty calling in. But
no, oh, no worries. That happens. I've actually gone off the air several times. So, all
that's
good.
That's a little more serious.
Yeah, that house is a little disconcerting too. Hey man, listen, I want to talk about your race, but before I do, I was just telling the folks that tonight is the State of the State address. I'm assuming, yeah. Or maybe did you attend the State of the States when you were down there in Montgomery yourself?
You know, in the in the 9.5 years I served, I think I went to 2 or maybe 3.
Yeah, I think
of the state of the states, and then I typically ended up watching them in my hotel room otherwise.
Yeah, and you know, I was telling the audience that there are some aspects of the formality of government that I like. I like the fact that we take it serious. I like the fact that we have traditions and that kind of thing. But there are also certain things we're probably going to hear tonight that I'll kind of roll my eyes at when I hear it. Going to be curious to hear how they can justify spending 8-point-something billion this year and $2.8 billion on the general fund, and yet there's no tax incentives that we know of or tax relief being offered to taxpayers. It's gonna be something to watch.
Yeah, I mean the state is in a pretty good situation as far as the being financially flush. I have heard that they're looking at potentially getting rid of, I believe, what used to be called the franchise tax. It's basically a tax on businesses on their assets. And that would be nice if they would do away with that. But I think after they went in beginning of this quadrennial and initially voted in a gas tax, they better tread lightly on what they do or don't do when you see the amount of money that the state has and in the rainy day funds and the rolling reserve. So it'll be curious to see how the governor addresses that tonight.
Well, it will. It certainly will. But listen, so when you were down there in Montgomery, same time I was, and we were watching some of this from afar and voting down the gas tax, you and I did, there were other things, you know, that we would also get frustrated at, but then there's DC, and now you want to go to DC. So tell us, first of all, how's the campaign going, and what are the latest issues you're watching from afar that if you were in D.C. you would be screaming about?
Sure. So first of all, I don't know if it's that I want to go to D.C. I feel like there's a need for me to go to D.C. So those are two different scenarios, because this is not something that I really have sought after, but I feel compelled with my business background and with the legislative background and the experience that I gained in the Alabama Senate. I really do feel like that's a combination to bring positive change into D.C. For the United States and for the Northern District of Alabama, more specifically. As far as the issues that are up to date, I mean, for me, we must address the inflationary situation that the United States is in. That is a direct result from the loose spending that Washington has had for the last 20 years. It's a direct result of the ability of the Federal Reserve to print money in response to the loose spending that DC's had. So I think that needs to be addressed. I'd like to see a balanced budget amendment put on the federal government. There's a two-edged sword to that. Most states, most local communities operate under such a budget, but we've been at a deficit spending rate for so long, 2 decades, yeah, that in order to have the federal budget balanced, our spending would come to a screeching halt, and that could cause severe damage to the economy as a whole. So that has to be thought out in a very serious manner and implemented probably over a period of time to not send the United States into an immediate recession, if not depression, if that were to occur. So
I totally agree. I mean, when you and I were in Montgomery, you know, working at the state level, we implemented a rolling reserve for the education budget like in year one, because we knew where we had more opportunities for creating reserve. We didn't go and create it in the general fund right away, but they finally just did that, I think, last year or the year before, because they finally hit surplus budgets in the general fund. And they've got the ability now to begin setting aside and make it. So you're right. There's a means by which you can do it. You don't have to go in there and slam the brakes on day one, but you do have to take action. You can't just let it continue on in perpetuity and expect it to be okay.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest challenge that America is facing. The debt crisis is for real, and you've heard people talk about this for the past, 10, 15 years, but today we're in a situation with the inflation that's going up, the actions that the Federal Reserve say they're about to take. They've been on this quantitative easing since like 2008, and they are getting ready to dial up interest rates, and that's going to have a direct impact on the budget of the United States because of the abundance of debt that we carry, and each percentage rate is going to cost us billions and billions of dollars that are going to have to come out of government services just to go to pay debt service. And Americans need to recognize that, and Americans need to demand that their representatives in Washington, D.C. take action now, because the next generation behind us could really suffer greatly if we do not take the appropriate actions to address the debt crisis and the pending rate increase on interest that's coming up. So that's one of the things that I've really been trying to focus on and see if we can't get something going in D.C. Because got the experience, Paul, of doing that at the state level. And, you were with me there when I offered up several types of budget solutions, supported the role in reserve. I also had a shared revenue plan for the state. So there's a lot of different ways that you can come at this problem, but it needs to be addressed, and we need to take action as soon as possible.
Well, listen, Paul, we got no choice but to take a short break. Can you hang on during the break? I want to keep you going here for a few minutes afterwards and sort of shift gears to things like COVID mandates and national foreign policy, all right?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, man. We're on the phone with former State Senator Paul Sanford, who is now running for Congress in the seat being vacated by Mo Brooks. We'll be right back to wrap that conversation up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, we're going back to the phones to finish up our time now with former State Senator Paul Sanford. We served together down in Montgomery. He is now running for Congress in Congressional District 5, which is being vacated by Mo Brooks as he runs for the U.S. Senate. So, hey, Paul, let me ask you, switching gears completely, I'm a lawyer, so a lot of times I'm putting a legal review into something I'm dealing with on the show here, and the vaccine mandates, which, there's like 15 different versions of the vaccine mandate, but the reality is this. I think if they were dealt with from a legislative standpoint, if Congress got involved with a new Congress potentially in 2022, or actually, when they get sworn in, I think they could legislate those mandates away. Tell me any thoughts you have about the idea of legislating them away once you got elected.
Yeah, I think when the Republicans take over after the election this November, they need to immediately let the public know that they're going to address the public mandates, regardless of whether the Supreme Court finds them constitutional or not. They need to make sure that nothing like this ever happens again. I'm a little upset with the slowness in how the Supreme Court is deciding to come to a decision on whether the constitutionality of the executive order and the associated mandates on businesses with 100 people or greater is constitutional. They need to be quicker. If anybody listened to the oral arguments the other day, it was egregious that a couple of the Supreme Court justices were spewing totally false information. Had it been you or me on social media, we'd have been banned.
Oh yeah,
instantly.
Oh yeah,
saying the things that they were saying. So. I think the Congress is going to have to address it legislatively and make sure that nothing like this ever happens again.
Totally, totally agree. And I knew you'd say that, but I thought I'd ask the question and give you the moment. But let me ask you this too: in the 3 minutes we have left, I want to address one other thing. It's not a safe world, It's the world didn't get any safer. In fact, it got less safe, I think, when Biden was elected, because I think Putin and others, our near peer adversaries in China and Russia especially, smell weakness. That being said, now that I've laid the predicate for that conversation, Talk to me about your positions on the military, the use of military and foreign policy, and where you see what's going right now.
Sure. A couple of things. First of all, the military's budgets, it's a constitutional responsibility for the federal government to provide that defense of our nation. So I think the budgets of those, and here in North Alabama, they need to be protected because those are straight up basic constitutional responsibilities for the federal government to offer to the citizens of America. I think we shouldn't be involved in wars unless there is a threat to America, an imminent threat to America at stake. We're looking at Kazakhstan, the Ukraine right now with Russia. We have to evaluate, is there a domestic threat to us? And if so, clearly define it. And then Congress needs to decide whether or not action is taken. It doesn't need to be a unilateral act, especially by this president or any president, frankly. The Congress should support any kind of wartime act. Look at China. China is obviously a threat. I think they're more of an economic threat than they are a military threat. But given that, when they're flying supersonic missiles and America's unaware of it for weeks at a time, I think that shows that something has to be addressed there. But I think they're more of an economic threat than anything. And the current president is not helping that out with his policies and the things that he's implemented in the past year. Trump had much better pro-America policies than Biden has had. And so we need to look at implementing some of those and back into the system. So.
Well, Paul, you took us right down to the wire, and that was good stuff, man. I got no comeback for any of that. I agree completely. But let me ask you this. Tell the audience where they can find out more about you if they want to check you out as a candidate for Congress.
Sure. Best way to go is online, www.sanfordforcongress.com. You can find out anything about the campaign. You can volunteer on there and get connected with us. Otherwise, just look for me being out and about and stop and say hello.
All right, man. Appreciate you and thank you. And we'll have you back on again more as we get closer to the May primary, bud.
Thanks for the opportunity. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too, man. All right, folks, that's Paul Sanford. Some of y'all may have known him when he had Little Paul's Barbecue. His family is the one that's had Gibson's Barbecue down on South Memorial Parkway forever. But he was he's been a businessman. He served with me in the state Senate down in Montgomery. He is now running for Congress. You need to get to know the candidates. You need to get to know who you're going to vote for because May is coming. That's your primary opportunity. So get to know them, check them out, decide what you like. All right, we're going to come back. I'm going to the next part of the Triple Dipper, the green but no envy. Green but no envy. Green New Deal. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.